Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and this is KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. You have been listening to the President of the United States, Barack Obama, address the nation on the, dare I use the word, war in Libya. We will now examine the President's speech and the policy he outlined, first with Aaron David Miller, a Middle East advisor to six Secretaries of State, who is now a public policy fellow at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. Then we'll hear from Lawrence Korb, who served as Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan administration. He will assess the reluctant but crucial military role the U.S. is playing in this NATO operation. Then David Rothkopf, the author of Running the World, the Inside Story of the National Security Council and the Architects of American Power, joins us. He will discuss differences within the Obama national security team and how they are playing out in the Libyan situation. Then finally, we'll be joined by Jeremy Ben-Ami, who is the president of J Street, and he was forced to defend his liberal American Jewish organization before a committee of the Israeli Knesset on Wednesday, where the Likud chairman insisted on unconditional support for Israel, calling for J Street to be labeled pro-Palestinian and for them to purge anti-Zionist elements from their ranks and for Israeli officials to have no contact with the organization accused of being full of self-doubting American Jews. I'm now speaking with Aaron David Miller, who is a public policy fellow at the Woodrow Wilson Center for Scholars and has served six former secretaries of state. Welcome to Background Briefing, Aaron David Miller.
Nice to be here.
And just to touch on what the president said at the end, where he said people looking for freedom in the world have a friend in the United States. To paraphrase, it seems to me he was saying in a way that no more realpolitik, where we act in our interest as opposed to according to our ideals. Do you think it is now more in the United States' interest to act according to its ideals?
First of all, I don't agree that somehow, because the president talks about America standing on the side of freedom, that we are now going to intercede and intervene in every incident where a brutal and cruel regime represses its own people. I mean, I think you have to distinguish between rhetoric on one hand, reality on the other, and the president's efforts to square circle. On one hand, he's addressing those who argued we should not have intervened, and that was not morally or from his own viewpoint, strategically acceptable. On the other hand, he's trying to, in a sense, rebuff those who argue that we need to intercede in a much more aggressive, muscular way to basically implement regime change. So he's charted a middle course that's consistent with his own reluctance, and I think he was very reluctant. He's learned from Iraq and even his own doubling down in Afghanistan that getting in is a lot easier than getting out. I think the good news about this speech was that there were no Obama doctrines, there were no grand strategies, no strategic architecture, which would have only straitjacketed the United States and made foreign policy by doctrine virtually impossible. The bad news, I think, is quite clear, that we have a campaign whose only acceptable outcome, let me repeat this, only acceptable outcome, now that we've entered it, with NATO, with the UN Security Council, and with the Arab League, even though their own interests constrain us, the only acceptable outcome is the defeat of Muammar Gaddafi or a negotiated settlement which leads to his removal from power and his exit from Libya. And we are now, or could be, stuck in a situation in which we lack the capacity and the means and the will to carry that out. So I think that in my judgment, is the muddle with respect to the speech. The speech leaves no one any more clarity about how the end game here is going to play out. And the president actually made it quite clear. I wouldn't call it a golden handshake, but I think he really did, speaking in the past tense, that we have delivered on everything that we have said we would do. And now we're transitioning to a different phase and a different role, which further, in my judgment, complicates the question of strategy. So if this works, if in fact the regime crumbles and fractures, if NATO, having taken over the protection of civilians, which, by the way, is not enough, you're going to have to empower the Libyan opposition. You're going to have to physically find a way to transport it to the battlefield, organize it, arm it, and then ultimately make the decision that you are going to go after regime elements who are not prosecuting or persecuting civilians. Gaddafi is in Tripoli, a city of 2 million people. How do we suppose we're going to get him out of there? And that, in effect, is the challenge left unaddressed by the speech.
So do you think, it seems that in a way, the getting rid of Gaddafi has always been the subtext. It's the only thing that made any strategic sense. I guess, could that all be wrapped up in the euphemism that he put forth, we will assist the Libyan opposition?
Well, I think it's going to take more than that. It's going to require an active effort. Look, if there were no NATO involvement, there would be no Libyan opposition. You and I would have been having a different conversation by now. Gaddafi would be slowly reimposing his control over the entire country. The question is, what will NATO do? And NATO is not just one country. It's the Turks. It's the Germans. It's others who may not be as prone to aggressively, in a muscular way, empower the opposition to basically seek regime change. Unless we are very lucky, or there is information that suggests the regime is on the verge of fracturing, or with another week or so of military pressure at will, or someone basically kills Gaddafi from within, we could be here for some time with a murky and undecided outcome.
Well, I suppose that question, to some extent, it may be answered by the rapid retaking of some of this territory, which, of course, they lost rather rapidly, too. And there are reports that Hamis, the son, who has leads the only competent military unit they have, the 32nd Brigade, has already been killed. No, there's no overt evidence, I know, that it's falling apart, but I can't believe that there are too many people in Libya that support this guy.
Well, if that's correct, then this should all come to an end very quickly.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Good luck.
Good luck. I've been speaking then with Aaron David Miller, who is a public policy fellow at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. He's been advisor to 6 secretaries of state and under President Clinton. He served as the deputy special Middle East coordinator for Arab-Israeli negotiations. His books include The Arab States and the Palestinian Opposition, The PLO and the Politics of Survival, The Search for Security, Saudi Arabian Oil and American Foreign Policy, and The Much-Too-Promised Land, America's Elusive Search for Arab-Israeli Peace.